This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Governor Charlie Baker is nominating Justice Kimberly Budd to be the next Chief Justice of the Supreme Judicial Court. If confirmed, Budd would be the first Black woman to ever hold the position in the history of the state's highest court. Here's Governor Baker speaking about that decision earlier today.
Both personally and professionally, Justice Budd has served as a role model for women and for people of color and has given a voice to those who are not always heard. More than ever, we need her leadership and the unique lens with which she views experience and makes decisions.
We wanted to mark this historic moment for the court and the Commonwealth by speaking to another trailblazer in the Massachusetts legal community, Suffolk County District Attorney Rachel Rollins. DA Rollins, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Let's just jump in with your immediate reaction to when you heard the news today.
Wow. I would just say, wow. I'm really proud of Governor Baker. Justice Budd is an exceptional jurist. She's supremely qualified. But this is history, and that was sort of what I said in my social media. We are witnessing history right now.
Tell us a little more about her. I know you know Justice Budd personally.
Yeah, so she is, you know, Georgetown undergrad, Harvard Law School, and worked as an associate at a very well-respected law firm, Mintz Levin, had clerked for the Chief Justice of the Mass Appeals Court back in 1991, and was a former Assistant United States Attorney. So she's a former prosecutor on the federal side, just like I was. But she also has other really great experience. She worked in the General Counsel's Office at Harvard University as a lawyer. She was the Director of Community Values at Harvard Business School. And then she was put on the Superior Court, where she served from 2009 to 16, and ultimately succeeded Justice Duffley when she was appointed in 2016 to the Supreme Judicial Court. So, you know, she is supremely qualified, but a really great temperament, gets along well with everyone, has a very rich history of law enforcement in her family. Is the daughter of course, former United States Attorney Wayne Budd, who is the son of, I believe, the first police officer in Springfield, Black police officer in Springfield. They have a law enforcement background, but also is the mother of two young African-American sons, I think has a really interesting lived history as well. So it's just a really great day for the Commonwealth, and I want to commend Governor Baker for this appointment.
You know, you and I talked about who might get this nomination. We were talking last month, sadly, about the loss of, Chief Justice Ralph Gantz when he died. And you, at the time, pointed out the historic lack of diversity on the high court. And you said that the governor had a responsibility to fill those, quote, enormous shoes well. It sounds like you think he did that.
Yeah. And I mean, he has a lot more to do. I want to make sure we pause and give credit where credit is due. Governor Baker has done a wonderful thing here, and I don't even think it was a big stretch, right? Justice Budd is supremely qualified for this position and has led and been exceptional in every role she's had prior to this, including being a justice on the SJC. But when I wrote to the governor back on August 4th of this year, 2020, and talked about the importance of this moment, Justice Gantz was still alive at the time. He would have then been able to appoint six of the seven sitting justices as of August. Now, with the death of Chief Justice Gantz and the retirement of Justice Lenk, our governor is going to have appointed all seven justices on our Supreme Judicial Court. That is unheard of. So he still has two vacancies to fill on that court, which while Justice Gantz was alive, had five of the seven were former prosecutors. One of the seven was a person of color. We had women represented on that court, which is great, but in Cipher and Lenk and Budd, three of the seven were women. But right now, in our 328-year history, we've only had 10 women. We've had 3 African Americans. We've had 2 LGBTQIA+, 1 Asian, and exactly 0 Latinx, right? We don't have nearly as many criminal defense lawyers as we need or people.
And
with
she's a prosecutor, D.A. Rollins. Yeah, and you had said that last time. You had pointed out that there haven't been defense lawyers. Are you comfortable with her having been a prosecutor?
Well, she's already on the court, though, remember. So she was just shifted from being a justice to a Supreme Court justice. I am fine with there being prosecutors, having, you know, being one myself. But I will just, you got to listen to me. There are excellent criminal defense attorneys out there who are standing on the other side of the V with us, fighting valiantly, right, for the rights of their clients. They deserve on this court as well. What the governor has is an ability with his 2 vacancies to really make sure that he's thinking about people who are former criminal defense lawyers, thinking about people who have represented the indigent, thinking about individuals that have a different lived experience, right? Diversity in all types make us better. But I do want to say, Tatiana, that Chief Justice Gantz exemplified the fact that it is not necessarily about melanin when it comes to cultural competency, right? This man did more for certain communities than many others have with respect to the study he commissioned with Harvard Law School looking at racial disparities in the criminal legal system. And when we look at that week when he died, Justice Ginsburg passed later that same week, we lost 2 icons and heroes who had fought for the rights of not only groups that they were members of, but groups that they weren't members of, because that's what decent, kind, honest, and character-filled people do.
So, D.A. Rollins, in our last minute or so, you have experience with being a first, with trailblazing. I'm sure, Justice Budd, this is not her first time being a first, but what advice or thoughts would you share with her in this moment?
Just, I would want her to hear how proud I am of her, how proud so many other people are. And she is a role model, as the governor said, to women and people of color, but also to all of us. Justice Budd exemplifies that hard work and, you know, decency win. So I would tell her, sit back, please relax for the little bit of time you have to, you know, sit in this moment and recognize how worthy you are of this moment and how proud your 2 sons are. Your husband, I know your father is beaming with pride, attorney Wayne Budd and others. There are others of us that are beaming as well, and not just women, not just people of color, not just black people. This is the best thing for our Commonwealth. We are in really, really good hands.
And that is Suffolk County District Attorney Rachel Rollins. Thanks for taking the time.
No problem.
So listening into that conversation was WBUR Senior State House reporter Steve Brown. Steve, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, thanks, Tiziana.
So Steve, I know you're covering this. What are your reactions to what we just heard from D.A. Rollins and her words for Justice Budd?
Sure. It's clear that Justice Budd has gathered a lot of respect and goodwill throughout her career. What I heard from D.A. Rollins, she seems to be echoing a lot of the reaction that I've been hearing from various corners, from the bar associations, from the ACLU. So far, everybody seems to be happy with this decision for many reasons. Governor Baker is getting a lot of props for it, as we just heard D.A. Rollins praise him for this particular decision. So far for this decision, it seems to be, at this point, all on the upside.
So D.A. Rollins gave us a lot of context about the history of the court, what types of representation have been there and not been there, what she's been asking for, what she thinks is important to come next. Anything else that you want to tell us to round out the history and the legacy of the court and what this appointment means?
Sure. You know, this court up until 1978 were, you know, just white men. You know, we talk about this history that goes back to 1692 to 1978, a bunch of white guys. It was in 1978 that Governor Dukakis appointed Ruth Abrams. She was the first woman. Then, of course, Justice Ireland was appointed. Geraldine Hines was the first black woman appointed back in 2014. We have had now Justice Bud will not be the first female Chief Justice. Margaret Marshall held that post for 10 years from 1999 to 2010. So, you know, there's been a lot of change in the last 42 years. But prior to that, like I say, a bunch of white guys.
So you were there when Bud was nominated to the High Court in 2016. 4 years later, a huge elevation. How did today compare?
Yeah, it struck me as strange. I've been to a number of appointments for judges being named, particularly to the SJC, going back many years, and it's always a big turnout. It's a big event. The unveiling, usually the name gets leaked ahead of time, as it did today. But then the announcement, you go in and there are other judges there. There are family members there. There are all sorts of legal hangers-on there in the room to see and be seen. Because of the pandemic, the announcement was made in Gardner Auditorium, where Governor Baker usually holds his coronavirus briefings down there. It's a big, you know, 500, 600 seat auditorium here in the State House. Everybody was social distanced. I didn't see any of, you know, I was looking around to see if maybe Justice Bud's father, Wayne Bud, who I remember from when he was U.S. attorney, was there. They weren't there because of the pandemic. It was the governor, Justice Bud, and the lieutenant governor came in. They all had their masks on. Whoever went to the podium to speak took off the mask, and that was it. So it was just strange, again, because it wasn't usually that celebratory feeling when a justice is being named.
Steve, you've painted such a great picture for us there. Now what happens? What comes next, briefly?
Sure. The nomination, as all judicial nominations do, they will go to the Governor's Council. Governor's Council, eight-member body that is elected. You'll find when you vote next week, or if you've voted already, that there are members of the Governor's Council on there. You will vote for them. You probably don't know much about your Governor's Counselor, but they will be approving or could disapprove, but I think they will approve. They gave her high marks 4 years ago. The council hasn't changed a whole lot since then, so I would expect her nomination to go flying through here as soon as they can get all the paperwork done and the hearing scheduled.
And that is WBUR Senior State House Reporter Steve Brown. Steve, thanks.
Thanks, Tiziana.